Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church, to those in person and those online. Whether you come, wherever you're coming from or whatever you're bringing with you this week, we pray that you will experience the restoring presence of the living Jesus here today. Got a few announcements. We need some volunteers to help make soap and washcloth bundles for Operation Christmas Child. There are a couple of bags in Holman Hall that are available to be picked up, and if you could just take one home and wrap them up and bring them back, that would be great. We're also collecting the May items for Operation Christmas Child, which are coloring books and small notebooks. And there's a bulletin board notice outside of Holman Hall that lists the numbers and everything that we need. Mark your calendars for Monday, June 16th at 7 p.m. for the Impact Youth Choir concert here at Hebron. This is a touring group from Burke Presbyterian Church in Northern Virginia, and we are one of the stops on their summer tour. Please join us as we celebrate God's gift of music. Are there any other announcements? If not, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Thank you, Marcus. Please rise for the call to worship. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
You are my God, and I may give thanks to you.
You are my God, I will extol you.
To all who are weary and need rest, to all who long for comfort while they mourn, for all who may feel worthless and wonder if God cares, to all who fail and desire strength, to all who sin and need a Savior, Jesus, the friend of sinners, welcomes you here and greets you with these words: Grace, mercy and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we come to worship and adore you for your great mercy and grace to us. For we were once sheep without a shepherd, lost and in great danger. But you came to us in Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd, to lead us in your paths of righteousness. And so we praise you, O God, that Christ laid down his life for his sheep, and on the third day took it up again. We pray, send your Holy Spirit to aid us in our worship, that you may lift our prayers and praises to the heavens. And may we not leave here except that we know that you have met us today. For we pray it in Jesus' name and in the power of the Spirit. Amen.
The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Trusting in God's faithfulness and compassion, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name.
Almighty God, in his great mercy, sent Jesus Christ to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us turn again to God in prayer. Let us pray. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, for we often go our own ways and find ourselves lost and afraid. And so, by your word and Holy Spirit, be a light unto our path and give us your words of comfort and peace as we seek to be your people in this weary world. All this through Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter, starting in the 22nd verse. Often in the Gospel of John, Jesus' conflicts with the scribes and the Pharisees happen around a particular festival in Jerusalem. This is just how he records the events of Jesus' life. So now, in our reading this morning, he comes to the festival of dedication, what we would know today as Hanukkah. So this is, just to give you the contemporary festival, is the festival of dedication in Jesus' time. This was when the Maccabees, this was sort of pre-New Testament but post-Old Testament time, when the Maccabees had to rededicate the Jewish temple because it had been desecrated by the Greeks. So this really is a festival. This dedication is about a dedication not just of a physical place, but of the whole people, the whole people. And so the impetus here of this, the meaning for the people, is that something new is happening. That's what's behind this festival of dedication. So with that in mind, let's turn to God's word. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, and they said, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe, because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What does it mean to belong? What does it mean to belong? I think whether consciously or unconsciously, this is a question that drives much of our human behavior, positive and negative. People across time, as we know, have gone to great lengths, even at the cost of their very lives, to belong. There is this inherent need in us human beings to belong to something or to someone. It's how God made us. Now, in our social imagination, so in the ways that we think as people, there are really two ways of belonging. The first I'll call conditional belonging. You might think of a country club or a fraternity. You pay your dues. Maybe you attend certain events, and now you belong. In this mode of belonging, it means checking off the list of the right things, the right boxes, and now you're accepted. But belonging, of course, is always conditional. If you lapse on your dues, your membership can be revoked. You no longer belong. So that's the first way, conditional belonging. The other way I will call unconditional belonging. It's apt that we're celebrating Mother's Day today. We all know that there is something in a healthy relationship between a mother and child, or between a mother figure and a child, that the child knows they're safe. They belong. And even when that child falls down or behaves badly, their belonging is not at risk because their mother loves them. In this way, this kind of belonging does not rest on something that we do or something that we are, but simply that we are accepted. Even and despite our failings, it's unconditional. Now, out of these two ways, our world really operates out of that first way, conditional belonging. We're expected to pay what's owed, to do the right thing, to say the right thing so that we can be part of the in group, whatever that may mean. But if we slip up, maybe falter, and that's it. You're out of here. This way of thinking has been so ingrained in us that we unknowingly bring it to all of our relationships, and even our relationship with God. In this mode of thinking, religion becomes trying to appease a God who is constantly watching for you to slip up so that he can smite you down. A deity who accepts you as long as you aren't messy. This is the view many have of our faith. But the question is it true? In our passage this morning, Jesus is confronted by the scribes and Pharisees who want him to tell them plainly whether he is the Messiah. In his response, as he tells them that he has already shown them the answer, our Lord gives us a picture of what it means exactly to belong to God. He says to them, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." This is a picture, of course, of a sheep and his shepherd. In the first century, Middle Eastern practice around shepherding looked sort of like this. Multiple flocks would be gathered in one great field. There weren't paddocks in what we think of today. They would be all together in one great field. And just by looking at them, you couldn't tell one flock from the next. However, the shepherd had spent so much time caring for his particular sheep, raising them from lambs to adulthood, that they knew his voice. They knew his particular voice. He could call from this great mass, and only his sheep would follow. Jesus is saying here, "I am the shepherd of my sheep. My sheep listen and follow. My people believe in me because I've cared for them for a long time, even before they knew it. They were in my hands." Throughout his whole ministry, as Jesus was healing the sick and casting out demons, as he was forgiving sins, there were those who, in response, rejected him outright. And there were those who gladly accepted him and the message that he brings. And so what Christ shows us here is that those who came to faith in him, they came because they were already in his care. Let me say that again. Those who came to faith came because they were already in his care. Now, we can discuss the finer points of the doctrine of election a different time, a different sermon. But all I'll say is this. Our passage shows us that those who come to faith, and even when we came to faith, it was not because of anything within ourselves, anything that we deserved, but that we were already in Christ's hands, whether we knew it or not. Next, Jesus tells us exactly how he cares for his sheep. "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." This is a gift which he gives to his people, not a reward for their service. They will have abundant, eternal life. This is not just living forever in some paradise far away, but this is what we might call a fullness, a completeness of life beyond what we can currently comprehend. And not simply life, but Jesus promises eternal safety and security. No one will snatch them out of Christ's hands. Now, what a promise is that? What an assurance that nothing and no one can take us from the caring hands of our Lord. I think of Romans 8. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, in our conditioned brains, we might, that conditioned into conditional belonging, right? We might be tempted not to believe Jesus here, right? Okay, we can't just be his sheep because he loves us. We must not be recipients of abundant life and eternal security without cause, right? Like, there must be a list, you know, some things that we need to do. Or maybe a certain way of living that we have to complete first so that we can get into God's good graces. But the reality is there is nothing we can do to merit God's acceptance. Nothing. Christ gives it unconditionally to his sheep. We don't need to get into God's good graces, because in his goodness and grace, Christ accepts us as God's own. Jesus is not giving conditional statements here, but mere facts. Those who have faith are my sheep, even before they knew it. They listen to me. I give them eternal life and safety. You can have full assurance that Christ is not some deity in the sky looking to see when maybe you'll slip up so that he can pull salvation out from under you, but that he welcomes you unconditionally. And he does so because he said those in his hand will never perish. Never. You'll remember that these are the same hands that healed the sick and raised the dead, the same hands that welcomed broken people into a newness of life, the same hands which were nailed on the cross for our sin. You are held safe and secure in the wounded hands of the one who laid down his life for his sheep. And with those same hands, he welcomes you and bids you come. Come to me, and I will give you rest. The crucified and risen Jesus is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep. He defends them. And he even leaves the 99 to save the one. So no matter where you are or what you're coming with today from this week and from this month, no matter what the world tries to say about you or your value or worth in society, no matter if you feel like a failure of a Christian or worthless in your own mind, and no matter how many times you may fall down and fail, the good news of the gospel is that you are held in the loving care of Jesus. You are accepted. You belong because he first loved you. There's no checklist to fulfill, no dues to pay. He's not waiting for you to slip up. But even before the foundation of the world, he claimed you. And in time, he died so that you might have new life. I think the Heidelberg Catechism, one of our confessions of faith, says it best. It asks, what is your only comfort in life and in death? Answer, that I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. What does it mean to belong to God? It means to be unconditionally held in the care of the one who first loved you and who gave his life for your sake. Amen. Let us turn again to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Son Jesus to be for us the good shepherd. Grant that we would listen and follow him, finding the eternal life and security he gives. And as we rest in your unconditional care, hear us as we lift before you our prayers. Gracious Father, you've got the whole world in your hands, governing with justice and righteousness. Grant that all may come to acknowledge your sovereign rule and so live according to your ways. We celebrate this day, Mother's Day. We give you thanks for mothers and for mother figures and how their love is a picture of the great mothering love with which you care for us. Help us to remember and show that same kind of love to others. We pray for an end to the conflict in the Kashmir region, a ceasing of hostilities, and an establishment of peace. We pray, O Lord, that it may come soon. We pray this day for all universities, for colleges and technical schools, especially as graduations are rolled out when the school year has ended. Help us to remember that you are the fount of all truth. Blessed Jesus, at your word, you gather your sheep into your fold, the church. Grant a renewal of your church on earth,
that we would courageously proclaim the good news of your sacrificial love. We pray especially this day for the church in Cuba, that their witness may be a blessing to the world. We pray for all missionary work throughout the world, especially in the translation of the scriptures into all tongues and languages. Prosper the work of translators so that all may come to hear the words of life. And we pray for this church which you have called Hebron. Help us to discern afresh how we might live out your mission in this community and beyond. And bless the work of our hands and the community that you are building here. Holy Comforter, you are our strength when we are weak, and in your presence there is true healing. Bless those this day who suffer in body, mind, and spirit, especially those who mourn. We also lift to you all those peoples and concerns on our hearts as we name them in this moment. O Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, we give you honor and praise, knowing that you can do infinitely more than we could ever ask or imagine. And so we pray, using the words that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to the Lord.
All the way my Savior leads me.
Gracious and holy God, like a shepherd feeds his sheep, so you gift us in abundance all that we need to live. And so we give back a portion of that, of these good gifts, and dedicate them to your service. Bless these gifts, and may we be good stewards of them, so that they may be used for the building up of your church and the spreading of Christ's name abroad. All of it we dedicate to him. Amen.
Thank you.
does it mean to belong to God? It means to be held in the unconditional care of the one who first loved you and who gave himself for your sake. So go from this place to love and serve the Lord. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. This day, always, forever. Amen.